Yeah, how we doing, y'all? We're back here in the studio, talking all things God. So I'm joined this morning by Pastor Johnson. Do you want to introduce yourself? Where are you from?
All right. Good morning, y'all. I'm Johnson Ugbebo. I live in Kila, but I pastor the Redeemed Christian Church of God, House of Prayer for All Nations in Cove, County Cork.
Very good. But you have a heart for y'all as well. I've met you walking the streets of y'all.
Yes, I have a heart for Ireland.
So what brought you to Killa and Cove?
Well, by the grace of God, there was a church there, so I had to go take over the church in Cove. And from that time, we've been reaching out to the people in Cove, and the burden for souls keep expanding. And we used to have a place here, like a fellowship center in Yall. The same thing in Karitu and Kasumata. So we to Wexford and Waterford. I had to look after some churches in areas. Yeah.
Very good. Okay. So I know we haven't anything planned for this conversation, but the one thing that's been on my mind quite a lot, and it goes and it comes back and goes and it comes back for the time we're living in, and that is God is not done. You know, I mean, we see a lot of churches, mainstream churches in the country, probably across the world, and it's like, you know, we want to maintain what we have and we're happy, and we talk about the good old days all the time. And I think we can get caught up in that mindset that time was good, and if we keep doing what we're doing, those times will come back. Have you any thoughts around that?
Well, the Bible tells us that the God that we serve, Lamentations 3:22-23, that his mercies are new every morning. God is beyond human comprehension. The God that we serve is keep on revealing himself to generations after generations. God is not static. You know, God, you know, he keep opening himself. That's why it's a relationship when you go with God. For every generation, God is doing new things. Mm-hmm. I believe the time we are in now, God is calling us to a closer walk with him. He said something in Jeremiah 29, verse 13. He said, if you seek me with all your heart, you will find me.
I'm just going to pray now. We should have started with a prayer, so I'm going to say a quick prayer, guys, yes. So if that's okay. So, Father God, I pray that you anoint this conversation,
yes.
That you speak your word through us with clarity, with truth, and with compassion.
Yes.
God, help us to point the great plans you have for your people. God, I pray for those who don't know you as Lord and Savior.
Yes.
I pray today that they would see your love as radical towards them, that you are not mad at them, but you are madly in love with them.
Yes.
God, I pray that they come to know you by the end of this conversation. I pray for those of us who do not know, whether it be a week, a month, or 10 years. God, I pray that our love for you would increase, and that we would leave here not just inspired but transformed, and that you can use us to change the areas where you place us in our homes, in our jobs, in our schools, that we would make ground to make your name famous. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray.
Amen.
Amen. As we're talking about God is not done. And I was looking at Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 19, and it says, or verse 18, it says, do not remember the former things or ponder the things of the past.
Yes.
Listen carefully. I'm about to do a new thing. Now it'll spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? I will even put a road in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. You know, we look at... we had a quick conversation before we come in about, you know, what's happening through the music industry, what's happening on the airwaves and the whole lot. And I mean, if we look at the Grammys, last week, and I've spoken about this, I've written a little blog about it, the behaviour of Sam Smith dressing as Satan and performing. And then I look at when we go to the wider picture and we see something like the top 20 artists in the world have all mocked Jesus or blasphemed in some way or the other. And people are warming to this, and they're praising this, and they're giving it, airtime, and it's affecting. And then we look at the state of our world today. We look at what's going on. We use terms like lockdown. We use terms like I know some older people that I go and visit. I'm in lockdown today. They keep using those terms, so we've kind of instilled a fear at the same time we're blaspheming the name of Jesus. But I don't believe, you know, God's still sitting on the throne, and you said that his mercies are new every morning.
Yes.
And his mercies are there. So Jonathan Edwards wrote that famous sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, that God hasn't given up.
Yes.
He is still holding on to people.
Yes.
And his mercies are new every morning. So how do we move that message into our communities? How do we move that from, get people out of their pews, out of their seats, the bench warmers in church, and say, hey, you're called to serve this mighty God?
Praise God. One major thing we must realize is that the God that created the heavens and the earth also created man in his own image and likeness. He created man to be good. But the truth is we have an adversary. His name is Satan. He's very real. And he has a kingdom. It's called the kingdom of Satan. So the work of Satan is to make sure that the children of God, those who are created, are covered in a veil. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, say the God of this world have put a veil upon the children, upon the people, so that they will not be able to receive the gospel. And what God wants to do, he started by sending a son after man fell. The Bible says in the book of John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. What God is doing is that God is calling man back to himself. There's hopelessness, really. There's all kind of things that is happening. There's suicide. There's all kind of things. But, God, there's hope. And that hope is found in Christ. Now, there are spirits that you can see. They are inside the sea. They are the mountains. They are everywhere. And they are wicked spirits. They are called demons. These are the things that infiltrate into homes and affect the mind of people. Anytime if somebody is hearing a voice, that is a being. You may not be able to see that being, but that is real. And to overcome that being, you need Jesus in your life. Because from time immemorial, that was what Adam could not contend against. He lost it. Now, the message that God brought is the message of love, that there's hope. We have to align ourselves back to him. We have to come back to him. And that's what God is looking for. God is not going to give up on the man he created. Satan did not create man. Mermaids did not create man. Witches did not create man. Only God created man. And God wants that man to live with him in eternity forever. And the way to God is Jesus. Is simply believing Jesus. Paul was writing, he said, there's no mediator between God and man but the man Jesus. Mm-hmm. So that's just our hope. Our hope is in Christ. So if anybody out there is hurting, if anybody out there is lonely, if anybody out there is confused, we have a friend that's still closer than a brother, and his name is Jesus. Immediately you call his name, you will see him so close. Amen. He will hold you so close.
That is truth. That is amazing, And what about the person who tells you, I had a conversation recently with a guy and I was sharing with him and he says, well I don't believe the Bible. I don't believe God. And I just felt like saying, but that doesn't matter. That doesn't say there is no God. That doesn't say there is no Jesus, So how would you speak to a person like that?
Well, people have different backgrounds and different experiences. Now, if somebody does not believe in the Bible is the foundation of the words of God. That's the bedrock, But you can't blame them because there's a lot of distortions. There's a lot of misconceptions. There's a lot of misrepresentations all over the world. It's not just the man you are speaking to. Many people just see the Bible as a storybook. Or many people just see it as somebody over 2,000 years ago, a group of people start writing. But the Bible is the inspired words of the Holy Spirit. The Bible was written by the Holy Spirit. That is why the Bible nothing has been able to bring down the Bible. Nothing, no matter what the Bible have been standing, it's one book that is sold more than any other book in the world. So what do I tell the person? I tell him, I said, are you in search of the truth? Because every man wants to know the truth. Mm-hmm. Every man doesn't, nobody wants to be lied to. A man does not want the wife to lie to him. So the wife does not want the man. Everybody loves the truth. If you see anybody that is doing the truth, everybody likes them. Whether they are politicians in Dole or the Shinit, you know, everybody wants the truth. That's why people get furious when they found out that somebody is lying. But, you know, one truth has remained over thousands of years, and that's the Bible. Mm. It's a simple book. You know, one of the men who survived the Nazi Holocaust, the Nazi concentration camp, you know what saved him? His name was Viktor Frankl. Mm-hmm. He saw just a copy of the Old Testament, and he was reading it. His encounter then started with Yahweh, the God of the Jews. And do you know, the hope inside him is unbelievable. Mm-hmm. One of the men who pastored the biggest congregation on earth, his name is David Yonggi-cho. Mm-hmm. Yonggi-cho was a Hindu, but he had tuberculosis and he was dying. He was vomiting blood. But thank God for the schoolgirl on that street who came sneak into the room and told him, I said, if you accept Jesus, he will heal you. He said, what have I got to do with Jesus? I don't know Jesus, but I need healing. She prayed, led him and to Jesus. He gave his life, and this girl brought a Bible. Funny enough, he started from the book of Matthew and started to read genealogies. It didn't make any sense to him. But as he kept reading, the tuberculosis left him. Mm-hmm. People, this Bible is the greatest medical force on earth. We are not going to undermine medical doctors or medicine or medication. No, 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 no. This is the root. This is where the doctors got all the herbs, all the things they bring together to give us capsule and medication. Yeah, it is from the Bible. The Bible is also the living word of God. It's the written word. You know, you can't really, really accept this Bible if you are not in search of truth. I spoke to a Muslim years ago, and he said, I've been a Muslim all my life. My father is an imam, that's the head of a mosque. He said, how do I know that this Bible is true? I said, why don't you ask the truth? Because there's only one truth. His name is Jesus. In John 14, verse 6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come unto him except my father draws him. Now, he went to, and he said, because the father was threatening him, that you are going to a church, I'm going to disown you. So he only asked Jesus, are you the truth? Pastor Ross, Jesus appeared to him. That's the truth. He's alive. Just like people see ghosts in their house and they do all kind of things and they are scared. This is a haunted house. We have the Spirit of God, which is loving, kind. And I would just tell the man, ask for the truth. You don't need to question anything. Just say, God, if truly you are there, tell me the truth, and the truth will come up.
Amen. 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 So we see that God is moving. We see in Asbury in Kentucky, the revival that's happening, you know, amongst the young people. Mm. You know, in Sydney, I saw a clip from Sydney on Saturday where a young lad started worshiping, singing worship songs on his guitar. And within minutes, there were hundreds around praising him. We're seeing it in Israel now that there is people just, you know, a few hundred again in groups worshiping God. So as much as we see the world falling apart, we're seeing God moving. We're seeing the Spirit. And God said in the end days, he would pour out his Spirit in the book of Joel, which Peter referred to as well in the book of Acts. So we are seeing the Spirit of God pouring out. But I still think that many Christians are still asleep. Many Christians are comfortable in their Christianity, and they're happy to attend on a Sunday morning and just receive, be poured into, but never pour out. So, and I believe God is, he's not done. He is going to do something new. And he's kind of saying, remember those good old days. Remember the days I did that. Remember I brought you through the wilderness. Remember the days I gave you, you know, you're hungry and I gave you manna. And remember, you know, I gave you the quail. Mm. He said, I did that. Mm. You know? Mm. But I don't want you to keep looking at that. I want you to look to what I'm about to do.
Exactly.
And I want to get you, you know, I've got a plan for the world and I want you to jump in with my plan. Yes. You know? And I think it's important that we look to God, do you know? Because God's got more for us. He's not done with us. So he's much. Not finished with us. He's not done with our families. He's not done with our children. He's not done with our school. He's not done. Do you know, we can see him moving.
Yes.
So I believe we need to encourage the people who are listening today. Do you know, even those who are churchgoers, never mind the unbeliever, those who are churchgoers, to say, Joe, God has a plan for you. God has a role for you in his kingdom. Mm. Are you willing to step up? And, you know, in Matthew 9:17, he says, you don't put old wine into new wineskins, or new wine into old wineskins, because it'll burst.
It'll burst.
You know? So how do we get that message of all you've spoken about, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, that Jesus is healer, that Jesus is not done? How do we bring that out? What ways can we bring that out in the streets? And I know myself and you have been going out and meeting people in Chatham, but how do we reach the wider community?
The commandment that Jesus gave us is in Matthew 28, from verse 18 to 20. He said, all power in heaven and earth has been given unto me. Go ye, therefore, into the world and baptize everyone that believe in the name of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them, bringing the gospel to them. He repeated the same thing in Mark 16:15. You know, the heart of God is that we speak to people. That's how he made it. That's why Paul said something in Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto all that believe, first in Jerusalem, in Judea, in the uttermost part of the earth. You know, what we are expected to do is to keep reaching out one-on-one. Mm-hmm. You know, you do like the food bank something, and you give people free food. In you've gone to Africa, you've gone to Cambodia, you've done, and see the revival. People come to eat, but in the course of eating, they hear the gospel. So God made it. Thank God. Even Jesus himself, when he was here on earth physically, he said to his disciples, I must go to other villages, towns, and cities, because they must hear the gospel too. So God wants us to keep going and meeting people on the street, knocking on doors, not disturbing them, and giving them the word of life.
And we have to take the steps.
We have to.
You know, we have to step
bold
out.
Bold step.
Yeah. You know, just while you're talking, I was thinking of is it two Kings chapter 7, the lepers who were sitting outside, you know. They said, if we go into the city, we'll die. If we stay where we are, we'll die.
Yes.
So they went towards the enemy camp.
Yes, it will go and fall on the Syrians.
You know, so we'll go. And you know, they felt, well, we're going to die. There's no point in sitting here. You know, we got to move. You know, and when they took that step of faith.
That's it.
You know, the way was made. God had already gone before them.
Yeah.
And I think we got to remember that God has already gone before us. Do you know? That the way is, it has been prepared. You know, and when you know, when we're going back to the Israelites in the wilderness, God provided. But yet when they got to Jericho, God says, I've done all that.
That's it.
Now you must step. Mm. You must step around the walls. You must keep stepping around the walls for 7 days.
Yes.
Once a day for 6 days, and seven times on the seventh day.
Yes.
And then, you know, so they had to go from receiving to giving, from being, you know, disobedient through the wilderness to be obedient.
Yeah.
So God was preparing them for this next move.
That's it.
Where they had to do something. And I believe we just get too comfortable, and we need to step out. We need to do that next move.
To.
You know, there are people hurting in homes, or homes in the different estates around here where you know, there are widows who are lonely.
That's it.
There are families who can't afford to feed their kids. Do you know? And yet we sit in and we need to find these people. We need to reach them with the practical love of Jesus Christ.
That's
you
it.
Know, and I think for me that is going to be the new way.
Yes.
Do you know? Is, you know, let's go and search them out. Let's go and meet them. Let's go and say, hey, do you know what?
there is a God who's not forgotten about you.
Yes.
There is a God who sent his son.
That's it.
To die for you.
That's it.
You know?
So. I would just say this. You see, centuries back in my country, there's a place called, which is called Cross River today, Calabar. When a woman had two twins, you know what happened? They say, oh, she's possessed. She's not supposed to have twins. So they send her into the forest to die with the twins. But a woman from Scotland, her name, Mary Slessor,
yes,
she came as a missionary, a young woman. And she's, you know what she's remembered for? She stopped the killing of twins. She had to explain to the locals that, no, she's just fertile. Yeah. You know, there's nothing wrong with her. Yeah. So they said, no, there's nothing. And the chiefs have to accept it because she came with the gospel.
Yeah.
Look at all the missionaries who came to Africa. Many of them died.
Yeah.
Mosquito bites. They were buried there. But they came with the gospel to us.
Yeah.
And that's how we were able to receive the gospel today. You know, and that is what God wants us to do.
Yeah.
He's sending us to reach out to a dying world.
Mm-hmm.
And we must take up the call. You know, I was in the museum in Liverpool, and I went into the museum and I saw how people lined up to go to Africa to carry, to preach the gospel. They were lined up with their suitcases. And I saw it there, that many of them were actually buried in those boxes. They were carried. But they didn't live for long.
Yeah.
You know, they couldn't survive the malaria fever, you know. But they went.
Yeah.
They went
to
China. You know, from there, they went to India.
Yeah.
They went all over the world.
Yeah. And there's the Moravians. Some of the Moravians sold themselves into slavery.
Oh, my God.
You know, just to preach the gospel. Mm. There was a wealthy landowner, I can't remember the country, a wealthy landowner, and he had like hundreds and hundreds of slaves, but refused the gospel to be preached.
Mm.
So a few Moravians sold themselves into slavery just so they could preach the gospel.
Wow.
And the whole area got converted, you know, by preaching the gospel. So it's not like we're missing the harvest. We're losing it.
Yeah.
You know, we're losing it by our inactivity.
That's it.
You know, as you say, people are struggling. You know, we see depression. We see, you know, suicide. We see all these in their eyes. And yet, you know, we're not showing them, hey, we know the healer.
That's it.
We know the way, the truth, and the life. So, how are we doing for time?
Yeah, we're including Wisdom's song. It's 35 minutes, but I can't edit the song down.
Okay.
So we're probably usually a half hour slot, isn't it?
Yeah. Do you know?
Now, I can actually put the longer version up on the podcast if you want.
Right, okay.
So, yeah. I won't edit it because it's interesting, but.
Okay. Yeah, I was thinking that's a good conversation.
Yeah, I can edit his song with 6 minutes.
All right, so you can take not 3 minutes. Yeah.
I can make that last chorus, the second chorus, you know what I mean?
Yeah, all right. I'll let you work your thing on that then anyway. So, yeah, so, you know, it's been a great conversation, and thanks for coming in, Pastor, you know. So, have you any quick final words you want to share with the people of Yole?
What I want to say to the people of Yole is that the love of Christ for them is everlasting. There's hope. The people of Yole will experience the power of the Holy Spirit as they look unto the King of Glory, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. And will you say a quick prayer just to close us out?
All right. Our Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for a time like this. You came, you went to the cross, you died on the cross. Lord, my God, I pray, O Lord, for every families that are hurting, for everyone that are in any form of bondage, for anyone that are in debt, for anyone that are in a relationship that is abusive, domestic violence, for any stubborn children, for anyone even locked up inside the prison for wrongdoing, Lord, I cry unto you for your mercy to envelop everyone in this town and let your mighty power begin to deliver them from the chains and the shackles of Satan and sin in the mighty name of Jesus. And I'll pray, O Lord, let a time, O Lord, of your mighty refreshing oil now flow over this town and let your kingdom be established here In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you very much for coming in. Until next time, if anybody needs help, if anybody needs food, if anyone's prayer, anyone wants just to connect for a cup of coffee, you'll find me at Breaking Bread. Number's there, so give us a call. God bless you. Till next time.